Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 11th of November. This is Labor Day. Today we honor the nation's 22 million veterans, including more than 2.5 million who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other fronts in the war against Al-Qaeda. We ask the question this hour, if we're turning our backs on many veterans who have come home and who have found that it's very, very difficult to reenter American society in terms of finding a job, even in terms of finding a place to live. We're going to talk about a very interesting program that is servicing some female veterans in the Milwaukee area and asking you the question this hour, if you are a vet and we're specifically interested in hearing from vets, not exclusively, but you certainly have priority this hour, what would have been an easier road for you once you returned to the United States? Did you find that employment was a difficulty? Did you find that housing was a difficulty? On last week's program, when we were talking about Beyond Glory, the show at the Rep tonight, we were discussing the fact that one in four people in the city of Milwaukee who is homeless is a veteran, which is really terrible. We have two guests with us, one in our studio here in Milwaukee. Latrice Buck-Hogan is director of the Milwaukee Women's Center Division of Community Advocates. It's a diverse human services organization that celebrates more than 20 years of providing comprehensive services and treatment to men, women, and children whose lives have been affected by family, intimate partner violence, substance abuse, mental health issues, and poverty. And Latrice is with us in our studio. She is also the winner of the 2011 Black Excellence Award. Latrice, thank you very much for coming to be with us today. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us by phone today is Paul Fate. He is director of the Common Bond Communities, the Upper Midwest's largest nonprofit provider of affordable housing. For over 40 years now, Common Bond has been providing affordable housing with life-enhancing services, believing that all people, despite their economic status, should experience the benefits of a home. Paul, thank you so much for being with us this hour. Hello.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And what has happened here is that the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development and Authority has awarded a tax credit to these two organizations to build 26 apartments for female veterans and their families. So we thought it, on Veterans Day, would be appropriate to talk about that. Both of you, I would like to address this issue first, why it is that we have this deplorable statistic that one in four of the homeless people in Milwaukee, I'm sure it's true in other cities in this country, is a veteran. Latrice, do you want to take that on first? How could that happen?
Well, I think there's so many things that occur once people come home and start dealing with the issues that had occurred while they were serving. And oftentimes when we're dealing with women, as this project deals with, they've experienced sexual trauma and they've experienced what we call military sexual trauma while they were serving. And oftentimes they come home and they don't have direct services. The women aren't usually going to utilize the VA because it's not, as we say, women friendly. It's a beautiful facility, but oftentimes women are not utilizing those services. And if you've been victimized and you've been sexually abused during the time you serve, more than likely you're not going to go to a facility that's mostly men receiving services. These women come home, they have children, and their families are ready for them to take their children, yet they still have the issues that they've been dealing with from possibly before they were in the service, aggravated by what occurred while they were in the service. And they come home and they're self-medicating, as we say, using substances to escape possibly the voices or the night tremors or whatever has occurred while they were there and that they did not disclose. And oftentimes when they're looking to receive services, there are not services there for them. Although the VA does provide services, they're not really women, or they're not really gender responsive in a sense to the women that are currently coming home dealing with being a mom, needing to find a place to stay. And these aren't usually women that have retired from the service, so they don't have the direct benefits that other women may have once they've received 20 years plus in the service. So they're coming home looking for a job and having to do all these things, yet still suffering from what has ever occurred while they were serving.
And yet there are more and more women in the services, so it sounds like the service is way behind the where they need to be in terms of helping female veterans, aren't they?
Yes, definitely. In our state, we have 8% of the homeless vets. They're women. That's over the rate that we have for what we call our civilian women. We have women experience it at high rates. And basically, nationally, we have 13,100 homeless female vets.
Wow.
And 45% of the homeless veterans are suffering from mental health issues, and 70% are affected by substance abuse. And oftentimes these experiences are directly related to sexual assault or incidents that have happened while they were serving in the military. Mm.
Paul, would you address the issue? Why so many homeless vets?
I would just like to point out that nationally, the number of homeless vets overall has been going down since 2009, and that's part of a major national effort to address homelessness amongst vets. It's gone from 76,000 in 2009 to 63,000 in January 2012. Hmm. But the number of female vets experiencing homelessness has doubled since 2006 to 2010. So that's why I think what we're doing with this new development is so important for the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm. Is it something new? Have you done efforts like this before, built other units?
Yeah, Common Bond has been involved for over, as you mentioned, 40 years in the development of affordable housing with services, and we have done other developments that we classify as permanent supportive housing with deeper services. And we are doing two other veterans developments here in Minnesota as well. This one we're particularly excited about because we're able to team up with community advocates and the Women's Center as our service partner. And we just believe that there's nothing more powerful than being able to serve veterans that have served us so courageously. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have done other developments like this, but our work with veterans housing is relatively new.
Hmm. Latrice, tell me about the importance of a house.
It's significant. Home is a safe place. And oftentimes when, a home means that you're being able to provide, often if not for yourself, for your children. A home means that when everything is going on around you, it's your place. It's like your own sanctuary when you go there. It should be some place where you can escape from your job, the world, possibly other family and other things going on around you. It means that I'm successful in the sense that I can provide for myself. It means that I have a place for my children. It's oftentimes a place for where families get together, where they can socialize together. It's a place where they sleep, they have somber, they have time for themselves. It's sacred to them because if you lived on the streets, you know what it means to be in an unsafe place. And just having a space of your own provides an empowerment for women that people don't realize at times, that a home means that you have the right to do what you're willing to do, a door that you can lock. You have a space that you can make decisions, that you can have free will and self-determination. It's so many things that are tied to your personal things are there. Oftentimes your memories are there, things that you've grown up with. It's a place where you can share experiences with your family, where you can have friends over. It's just a unit that belongs to you. It's yours. If anything else, it's yours, and it's your safe place.
Well, that was a beautiful answer to that question. That really was. I don't know if you can add to that at all, Paul, but maybe you can.
Briefly, just, when we talk with our residents who are low-income families, and about 70% of them are single moms with kids, the number one thing moms talk about is safety, first and foremost. That's what's most important. They're coming from places that have been unsafe, and they fear for the lives of their kids and the safety of their kids. Number two is the affordability of it, and number three is being in a place that provides a sense of community and hope. And we believe strongly in the importance of the service aspect of what we do so that people are indeed able to use this stable, safe, affordable place as a platform for success. So there's a lot of focus on, and in this case, on healing, on the ability to get into career ladder jobs, being able to spend time on financial literacy, just a whole range of things. And with kids, a focus on school success, because school success opens so many doors for kids
that
wouldn't otherwise have them. So I would certainly echo the importance of home.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it something, and we've spent some time philosophically talking about all of this, Latrice, but you added another dimension for women who have been abused sexually during their military service. And if you've seen any kind of combat or horrors of war, which for those of us who've never been in a war situation, is hard to imagine that you've seen the absolute worst in humanity, it's no wonder that people experience really deep, severe problems when they come out of that and come back home. But we just haven't been able to help very many people. The fact that people are living in the streets and can't access jobs or a place to live after we've asked them to do like this ultimate sacrifice, and they've had to go through this psychological hell and physical hell too. There's something that's just awful about the way that many vets are treated, isn't there?
Right. Yes. You know, I think, you know, we often say that the women are this, they're like invisible in a sense when they come back. People think that because women come back, they automatically have a place to stay. They have family. If their children were placed with someone, then they usually have that. Maybe they're coming back to a relationship and all that. But when you're coming back and you're having strong emotions and you're feeling depressed, you know, it's intense, you can't sleep, you're having feelings of numbness, you're emotionally flat, you're having difficulties with your attention and your concentration, and substance abuse becomes a part of your life, then some of the stability that you once had or that you once knew is no longer there. And so, you know, these women are really, there's shame that comes from that. You know, I should be, you know, a strong woman. I serve in a service. I should be able to come home, get my kids. I'm a good mother and all those type of things. And they usually go under the radar because they don't want anyone to know. And then when they've gone to services or tried to go to the VA or receive services, they're being met with services that have been set up for men for many years. And they're doing the best they can, the men, with the services that they're there. But the norms, the theories, the philosophies that are set up are set to be gender specific and responsive towards men. And so to feel safe, they need to be in a group that has women. Oftentimes they're in groups where it's co-ed. If you experience sexual trauma, you're not going to want to sit in a group with men. You're not going to want to sit and wait for services with men in hallways and things such as that. So a lot of times these women, they just kind of disappear. They're out there and we see them, and oftentimes they don't even report that they are vets. If they come into, we provide services to 40 beds, homeless beds at Community Advocates and the Milwaukee Women's Center. And oftentimes the women do not even report they're vets unless they've been there for a while and develop relationships, because there's a shame to being homeless. There's a shame. And in our communities, there is still a stigma around mental illness. So, sure. You know, as a woman, what does that mean for you and your role as the head possibly of your family when you come home? So to have to go out and admit that I'm having these issues and that I'm a veteran will cause most people to disappear from the shame and the guilt around it. Add the homelessness and the substance abuse component to that.
Yeah, so the number of services are substantial.
Yes.
That people are looking for. And what about the homes? Can you tell me a little bit more, Paul, about what the need is for homes for veterans, and a little bit more about the whole project? Because I know you have contractors who are hiring a good percentage of veterans as well as part of their workforce.
Yes, we're committed to making sure that our contractors are hiring vets. I'll just mention that we're building this on the site of the old Community Advocates office building. So we're excited about that. We will actually take down that old building and build a new three-story, 26-unit development that'll have 1, 2s, and 3 bedrooms in it. So it is obviously set up for families as well as individuals. And it will have rents that will accommodate very low income through rent subsidies, and will also have a range of rents so that if people are increasing their income over time, they are able to stay if they so desire. So there's some flexibility there. Again, community advocates will provide the case management and deep services, and we will be providing what we call advantage services that will focus on a range of things, the kids in school success, after-school programming, academic mentoring, college access. We'll also be working on employment issues, financial literacy, and related sort of issues with adults on the service side. This is a development that we were able to get the tax credits on, as you mentioned early on. It also relies on other sources of revenue, like the Federal Home Loan Bank. We are hoping to get some money from Home Depot and from some other grant sources as well to be able to keep this at no or very low debt to make sure that this is a very affordable development for people that are living.
And how great is the need? How many of these facilities could you build in this city, or how many are needed in the country? Are we talking hundreds, or just a few would satisfy the need, or what? Latrice?
I don't think we really even understand the extent of the problem,
really?
To be honest. And that's because, as I said, these women, you know, having them come forward and being able to, if there's, you know, 28,000 women vets in Wisconsin, we're seeing 8% or more that are reported are currently homeless and not receiving the services that they need where we find them often. So it's up to us as, you know, as the individuals that are providing to make sure we are connecting with the community providers that are providing services to the women currently and reaching beyond just the regular service provisions for VA to women that may be in other treatment facilities or may be somewhere else that are not self-identifying these issues. So I would say we don't know the extent, but I'm sure it's more of a problem than we know.
We are going to welcome phone calls. We have many of them coming in now. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're focusing on women because not very many people have focused on women who are vets and their great needs. They've faced in all too many cases sexual abuse in the military and also being in the military, which is a difficult thing to do, and come home and have substance abuse problems and are trying to raise their children and don't have places to live. So we're talking about the housing aspect of this and this remarkable new program and also all the services that will be provided for these women. It is Veterans Day, and we would like to hear from those of you who are veterans to hear about your homecoming. If you have faced difficulties finding jobs, finding housing, what could have been done to make your homecoming easier? What special problems do women who are vets face? Our number is 800-486-8655. Our lines are filled, actually, but we do have a way for you to get to us via email, which is talk@WPR.org, or you can always go to our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of phone calls. Let's go to Chris first in Sparta. Hello, Chris.
Hi, I have... First to say thank you for helping out those that have given up some personal sacrifice of their own, and I think that's just great. But I do have one question, and that's in regards to the statement that was made on saying that the number of homeless women has doubled in the past year, and I'm curious if that measurement could expect to see a rise or a decline, because I'm wondering if since over time, more and more women have joined the service and they're now starting to get out, how that may affect that number. If you could please expound upon that a bit.
Latrice?
Well, I think that the number probably will, I mean, as the number of states will increase, because as you stated, the women that are getting out, as well as the women that will be able to identify, because as more agencies start to provide marketing around the services that they're offering and women are starting to see more gender responsive services for them, that they would be more apt to receive those services. I think one of the issues that, and the reason why we're seeing so many numbers is because the government is starting to do more in regard as the VA centers are trying to develop programs for and speaking on military sexual trauma and the things that have caused women to disappear from the system. And as they become more involved and there's a true dedication to this issue, I think more women will come up and feel comfortable enough to receive the services without feeling like they're going to be judged or abandoned.
Thanks, Chris, for the call. Marion LaCrosse, hi.
Hi. I hope that your guest can answer this question. If not, it might be a good topic for another one. But my question is, when these men and women come home, it seems as though we're treating a symptom from the backside. And I'm wondering if they know if when young people join the military, are they getting some really, really good financial advice and some mothering or fathering. The reason I'm asking this is my husband was in the military from 56 to 58 before I met him, and that was before, it was during the draft, he was going to be drafted. He had gone to college a year and a half and ran out of money, and he joined the Army, and during that time, he saved enough money to buy a nice car and have money to start school again when he got out of the Army. And he said one of the ways he earned money was at the end of pay periods, guys would be out of money, and he would loan them $20 and get $10, or loan them $10 and get $20 back. And then my son joined the military in 1990, and he was in for 2.5 years. He joined during the First Gulf War, but by the time he finished basic, that war was over, so he saw no overseas action. But he did the same thing. He saved every penny, lived on base, and was very, very frugal. And when he got out, he had enough money to buy a car. He did have the GI Bill to help when he went to college then. I'm just thinking that when they come out, they don't have to be homeless, and they don't have to be penniless.
All right, let's get a response from Latrice. Can you save as her husband and son did?
I think being financially responsible is an excellent thing, and I'm sure your husband and son, whomever taught them those skills, did well. But what occurs is it's beyond just the money and financial stability. What occurs when someone has experienced trauma or has been victimized, that they are in survival mode mentally. So you could have the exposure to financial stability. You could have been taught how to save and do a lot of things, but when you begin to experience the trauma of being sexually abused or being victimized or harassed while you're in services, and then you expound that with substance abuse, those things kind of disappear because you're in survival mode mentally, trying to do whatever you can to survive. And oftentimes your funds are going towards other things, substance abuse. Their funds may be going even to have money so that their children can stay with their family members. We're unsure what occurs, but what I do know is that when someone has been victimized and they've been traumatized, their whole mindset is about survival from day to day, and oftentimes that financial piece is not there once they leave the service, and they do not have the support to even maintain some of the monies that they probably would have saved or could have saved if they had not been in a situation.
Mm. And let me ask you to talk a little bit about this, Paul. How do people find themselves in the situation where they don't have a home to come home to after they're finished with their service? Why don't they have a home?
I mean, I think people's experiences in the military vary widely, and they're coming from a variety of backgrounds, economically, socially. It's hard to stereotype, but I think that there are a number of people that do indeed experience trauma, both certainly women and men, while in the service, and deal with mental health issues. There are certainly people that struggle with getting pulled into chemical abuse that they have to deal with. And I think there are people that aren't able to save economically, as our caller is suggesting, just because of the circumstances that they are in. And I mean, ideally, people would do the same thing across the board, but again, people's experiences are very different. And I think what we are trying to say is that no one coming out of the service should be in a position to have to worry about where to live.
Right.
And they need opportunities to be able to succeed in life. And that's what we're trying to provide with this kind of housing, is to make sure people struggling with trauma, struggling with a variety of challenges, are able to get their feet back on the ground and to be successful with this housing plus services approach.
Yeah, worthy goals. Lynn emails, I would like to know how many of these homeless women were homeless or depressed or drug addicts before they went into the military. Is it possible that they thought going into the military would help them get a leg up in life, but that it didn't? And let me add to that question, too, are there cases where the military did serve that purpose? Latrice?
That's a hard question for me to answer, because there aren't a lot of statistics around that. So in regards to what they were like prior to going in, I'm unsure. But I do know that when people have experienced trauma prior to the military and their incident in the military, that just exacerbates their total experience in life. I mean, so it just adds to it. I'm not sure if they were experiencing alcoholism or substance abuse prior to going into the service or experienced traumatic events. But what we do know is that once they are released and they're reporting, that we are trying to provide a service that will help them to start their lives over, give them an opportunity to have their own home and to have a supportive service environment and network in their facility for them to get the chance to maybe for some of them experience some of the things that they thought they would have experienced in the service or things that they never experienced prior to serving.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Kenneth in Custer. Hi.
Yes, you cannot have a history of drug abuse or trauma before you go into the military. They take the cream of the crop. But what I don't hear is the fact that 60% of the veterans within a couple of years after discharge are on their way to prison, and are the prisons are full of veterans, over half, and the prison system is used as housing for veterans with mental illness problem.
All right. Paul, do you want to weigh in on this?
I'm trying to make sure I understand the question. Can you, what's the question here?
I wish you'd talk about the big problem of veterans being arrested
Why are there so many prisoners who are vets?
Well, the veteran population represents a wide swath of humanity, and I'm not sure that I haven't seen those statistics in terms of how overrepresented they may be or not in the prison system. So I don't know if I could give you a very an answer not knowing those statistics, but
Let me ask both of you, because you're dealing with vets, and from the vets that I've heard from after a lot of years of talking to people, and a lot of them veterans, for occasions like this and others, there is something about and we touched on this, but let's talk about it more. There's something about, having to kill some other human beings or having to experience trying to cover for your own life that I think really throws people into a whole other mental place, that makes it just really hard to relate to your family or to your spouse or your parents or anybody, that there's something really altering about that experience, and it shakes you up so much that you need all of these services that you're talking about, Latrice, and maybe you go off the deep end and you commit a crime of some kind because you can't do what you need to do. it's not an easy thing. I can't imagine what it's like to be in war, but it's not an easy thing
right.
to come back then, is it?
Right. No. No, it wouldn't be. And to have to deal with the dreams, you know, and the nightmares. And that's what I was talking about, the substance abuse, all this, you know, the one question about were they addicts before they went in. Oftentimes, these aren't individuals, as a man said, that were abusing or would have considered themselves an addict prior to going in, even if there was use. But they begin to use to escape, to self-medicate themselves, to be able to sleep or to be able to, as they think, daily function with their medication, being that they aren't receiving psychiatric services or they're not in treatment or in therapy or involved in any services that would directly guide them to a new life, medications and things such as that to help them progress beyond just the victimization that they that occurred or whatever they saw, whatever they experienced while they were there. I can't imagine what it would be like to have to come home and have those memories and deal with right. all of the things that may surface up. And we deal, I'm sure I've dealt with some vets that have had repressed memory because they're in a coping situation. They're there, and while they're there, they're doing what they need to do, and then they come home, things are triggered, movies, situations, arguments, things they see on the street, things that they hear, you know, other colleagues that they've had when they come home, just exchanging experiences and trying to cope with that has to be just unbelievable. So it's significant, as I stated, to have a community where they can feel like I'm not alone. Other women in this facility, they will get the chance to do community activities related to them and their children where they can identify that I'm not by myself. There's someone here that can help me. There's a door I can knock on. There's a case manager that's there. There's a vocational worker that's there. Someone that will hear me, not judge me, and know that the things that I'm experiencing are actually real and not just things from my imagination.
Yeah. Thanks, Kenneth. Let's go to Elaine in Colfax. Hi.
Hi. I have a couple comments and a question. I think that women should just stop signing up to join the military, period. I'm serious. As a protest against the rape and violence and the traumas that are going on. Are the rapists fellow soldiers? I mean, if they are, this is an outrage. Rape isn't sexual pleasure or romance. It's about control and violence. And if the politicians that send people to war had to send their daughters, they wouldn't do it. They do everything they could in their power to prevent war. And there must be a lot of sociopaths in the military, in the leadership, as well as in the ranks. This is an emergency. I am just flabbergasted. And thank you for this program.
Thanks for the call. Paul, let's put that one your way first.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think female vets joined the armed services because of a love of our country and to provide opportunities for themselves and their families. No one should be subjected to the kind of circumstances that you described. And they should not have to return and face traumatic stress, difficulty finding work, challenges with financial management, rebonding with children, and the results of sexual abuse when that happens. I mean, that's just unconscionable. And so I think I understand why you would raise the concern about having women in the military at all. I would hope that we could figure out a way to treat people humanely and to have women in the service and not have to worry about these kinds of issues. It's, mm-hmm. again, it's just unconscionable.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back to housing for just a moment. How did you get money to do these apartments, and do you hope to expand this in a large way? Paul?
Yeah, there are some particular tools that we've used for this here and in other places. The low-income housing tax credit provide, which is made available through the federal government, through the Internal Revenue Service, provides the lion's share of the funding for this particular development. And then, as I mentioned, it's very important to have rent subsidies so people don't have to pay too much for their rent. And we are working on, we've got half of the rent subsidies secured and are working on additional rent subsidies for the units. And then finally, you know, we are raising money from other sources to keep this at no debt or low debt, again, so we can keep the rents just as low as possible. And we are working with the Federal Home Loan Bank, with Home Depot, and other sources, public dollars, to be able to deliver this in a very affordable way.
I see. And you get rent subsidies through federal dollars or through, how do you get
those?
Yeah,
there are some that are set aside for veterans that are known as VASH vouchers that are similar to what are commonly known as Section 8 rent subsidies, but geared toward veterans. And we are working on securing some of those, as well as some that are made available through public sources in this region. So, yes, the rent subsidies, the capital dollars, and then the service dollars, those three pieces are kind of the critical components of making this work.
I see. Jeff in Toma, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. Can't hear you. There you go. If you can get closer to your phone.
We're good now. I think we just had a little bit of a glitch. The one comment that guy was talking about, the guys going to prison and that stuff.
Right.
Well, you know what? I work gang interdiction. Probably half those guys were gangbangers before they went into the military. They just expanded on it when they got out and just continued their path. And that's just the way it is. I took 300 and some odd pictures of gang graffiti when I was in theater up Iraq. I wrote a lot of articles about it. I did a gangland presentation on gangs in the military. We could do a special on that all day long. It is what it is. I'll leave that alone for another day. The rape issue and that stuff, there was a huge problem with that up at Forward Operating Base in Anaconda, to the point where they had to fence part of it off because the thug mentality, prison mentality of guys raping guys just to power balance everything, that happened up there. That was, you know, kept hush-hush, stuff like that. It is what it is. It's just a very sad situation that people in the way they think and in the way that the mind goes is horrid.
All right, Jeff. Latrice, you want to comment on what he had to say? Do you hear those kinds of reports, or is that overblown?
He said he experienced it. So, I mean, I'm sure there are individuals that are gang-related prior to their experiencing. Most people who are in gangs are trying to find a community, and the service would be the next community for them. But you are who you are, you know, prior to going into the service. And I believe that most people who go into the service want a better opportunity, advancement for themselves. They may be from a small town or for some urban city where they want to change in life, and they really believe that they can see the world and they can have opportunities. And oftentimes people go in the military because they want, you know, to be their college to be paid for. So we, right. You know, people go in for different reasons, but they do bring themselves. They bring their experiences. They bring their baggage, and they bring the issues that they had prior to going in. But hopefully when they're going in, that there are services that are there. And if they're not, when they come out, this is why we're having projects like the one we're doing right now to try to rebuild those individuals. Because as we know, everyone doesn't utilize services that are being offered to them while they're in service, and maybe they don't realize they need things or need a change until after they get out.
Yeah. More phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our guests are Latrice Buck-Hogan, director of the Milwaukee Women's Center Division of Community Advocates, a human service organization, been around for more than 20 years, providing comprehensive services and treatment to men, women, and children whose lives have been affected by family, intimate partner violence, substance abuse, and mental health and poverty. And they are going to be handling the service part, and there are many services needed for service women who will be availing themselves of these wonderful living situations as soon as they are built, although they're availing themselves of these situations before the housing component is in place. Paul Fate is also with us. Paul is president and CEO of Common Bond Communities. He has 25 years in the field of housing and community development, was the executive director of Payne Lake Community Partners, And he is joining us from the Twin Cities. More phone calls momentarily on this Veterans Day. We are asking particularly to hear from veterans, to hear about your homecoming. Did you have a home to come home to? Did you avail yourself of services? If you're a female veteran, did you find that the VA system, as Latrice has talked about, was less than understanding of the situations that female veterans may be facing? And so these services are really needed for a lot of vets. More phone calls momentarily. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to phone calls, 800-486-8655 is our number. And let's go to Nick in Milwaukee. Hello, Nick.
Hi. Interesting show. I'm a veteran myself. I'm 24 years old. I'm actually going to take a test in college right now. But I just want to caution listeners, veterans and non alike. A lot of these people who are calling in, they've met a few people who've had a bad experience or maybe even good ones. But you should understand that every veteran and every veteran's experiences are different. There is no quintessential deployment experience. Everyone's is different. And so just keep that in mind. And also, the VA is great. I can't speak for women, but the VA is great with getting people enrolled in programs. I had some substance abuse things going on when I first got out. They're really, really good with letting you know, but there's this big chip on people's shoulders who are in that they don't want help, they can't have help. And that's all I really had to say. I'll take my call off the air.
Nick, you want to talk about what your vet experience was? Were you in Iraq or Afghanistan?
Yeah, I was in Iraq from April of 2009 to April of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an infantryman. Sorry, I should have.
And you're in college? That's good. You sound good.
Yeah, well, I'm doing all right. I'm your typical broke college kid, but yeah, I'm right. All right.
Nick, can I ask if the substance abuse began when you were in the service or before the service, if you're willing to talk about that?
Big question. The military culture is very big on drinking. Specifically, I don't know if that's what started it. I mean, Wisconsin's also pretty big on drinking. But when I got out, I had a lot of resentment towards, you know, the system or whatever you want to call it. And I think that kind of fueled it. But in the end, those choices were mine. Those weren't that didn't affect or the military didn't force me to do those things. Those are my choices. And I think that, you know, people's experiences are different. But I think that people need to take responsibility for their actions.
Mm. Thank you so much, Nick, for calling and carry on. I think his point, validating what you said, Latrice, is that the military is a microcosm of American society in some ways. And so, you know, you bring who you were and there are going to be problems. We don't want to paint a broad brush stroke here saying that all these problems are pervasive absolutely everywhere. Right. They're just pervasive enough that something ought to be done about them.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nick, for your call. Rich in Rhinelander, hi.
Hi, thanks. I have heard that suicide rates among returning veterans are quite high, and somehow or another I've stereotyped those as likely to be males. I'm wondering if your guests can say anything about whether there's a rate of suicide among returning women veterans.
There are some statistics. There was a study done in Oregon from a professor in an department of psychology, basically talking about the difference between suicide rates among women vets and those women that were non-veterans. And the only thing that was conclusive was that there were lower rates that they identified as directly related to their experience in the service. But one thing they did conclude was that the suicide rate increased among veterans from 18 to 34, and they said it increased as they became older, from 35 to 44, and then increasing from 45 to 64. And basically said that as the ages increased and that the suicide rate was higher,
and they're not sure why this is occurring, but that was their basic research around it. I did look up some things that had to do with a study that was done in Portland as well, and basically veterans and their needs and the call for action around their needs not being able really responsive to the women's needs at the time they get out, as the things continue to build in their life, possibly loss of their children, children gone to the system, death of loved ones, you know, things that happen once they are released, as they become older and things don't change, substance abuse increases, mental health that has not been stabilized, as well as medical issues that present once they finally get the services that they need for their medical issues. So there was really no resolve. There's just an increase the older they become, and just stated that the more access to services, the lower the rate could possibly be in the future.
Mm. Thanks, Rich, so much for your call. Owen in Green Bay, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I'm a guy who was I'm basically a veteran who was active duty and now a reservist, and I just wanted to bring light or fairness to there was one of your comments who said that why don't we just boycott, you know, women boycott the military, you know, so they can stop, you know, raping. And I just wanted to, you know, let her know that the military doesn't condone raping. And it's not just, you know, women being raped. Men are being raped also. And it's not just women or men doing the raping, but there are some women who are raping women. And there are some women, you might find it hard to believe, that rape men, you know. So I can... you know, wait for a comment for that later.
And from your, Owen, from your experience, was there more of that in the military than you would like to have believed was there?
What was that?
Did you
men or
no? All of it. What you just talked about. Did you find that?
Oh yeah. There. When I was there, I was in the infantry, and. I never had any issues with women because I never worked with women. Not until I ended up transferring and working at the hospital I heard the whole issue about raping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of stand downs to discuss rape and sexual, discrimination and things like that, or sexual assault. But that came to a halt because the punishments were so severe that the one person didn't just get in trouble, but the whole unit got in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Owen, very much for your call. Let's go to Mike in Beloit next. Hi, Mike.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
Terrific. Hey, I just want to say that, you know, most of my frustration, you know, 12 years in the Marine Corps, is a long time, but I had a good time, but you know, you spend those 12 years trying to plan on all the great things, you know, how great it's going to be a civilian and everything, you know, and I'd say it's kind of a disappointment when you get out. It's not what you thought it was going to be, and you don't have any camaraderie out here.
Mm.
You know, you're all by yourself.
Mm.
So there's really nobody to talk to at all. I mean, you start telling somebody some of the fun times that you had, some of the bad times. But nobody understands what you're talking about. They all nod their head, but they don't understand the language that you're speaking.
Yeah, you need to be with other vets, maybe. Paul, you want to respond to this? We're running short on time.
Oh, just very briefly. I mean, I think isolation on return is a big issue. And it's probably as big as trauma. And I think we've seen more and more people experience that coming back recently than we saw in previous wars for a variety of reasons. Can I just mention, Kathleen?
Of course.
We have decided to, people would be interested to know that we are naming this new facility the Rachel Bosveld Place. Rachel was fatally injured on October 26, 2003, during a mortar attack on the Abu Ghraib police station in Iraq. and she was the first female vet from Wisconsin to die in the Iraq conflict.
Mm.
And she received both the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart posthumously. Mm. So we're honored to be able to name this facility after her.
Thank you so much for being with us. Paul, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You
thanks.
Bet. Thank
thanks.
You.
Thanks. Latrice, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
With us in studio. And thanks to everybody for your calls, too. We'll put a list of places. I know it's Veterans Day, and there are maybe your organization needs donations of something, too. And I know that there are organizations dealing with homeless veterans in Milwaukee. If you'd like to help on this Veterans Day, we'll put a list of resources. Thanks for listening. Thanks to KP Whaley and Robin Cherry.